Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
In a previous session, we discussed how to track your assets, how to build up your assets in order to increase your wealth. Now, what does that mean? Well, tracking your assets is clear. That's really all about knowing exactly what you own. Building your assets, we discussed, is about doing the best that you can when you purchase, when you spend money, to spend that money on assets that increase in value. And what about creating wealth? Now, most people may think that they're not wealthy. Most people are not wealthy. However, everyone, absolutely everyone, has an opportunity to increase their own individual wealth, whatever that wealth may be. And so asset tracking, building assets, is one part of the equation to determine what your wealth is. If you want to know how wealthy you really are, most people would probably say, well, I know that already. I just need to look at my checking account and I know I am not wealthy or close to wealthy. That may be true. But we are talking about a mindset and we're talking about planning for the future. And so net worth is a simple formula. Net worth is your assets that you own minus the total amount of the debt that you owe. And the difference between the two is your net worth. So the higher the number is for assets and the lower the number is for debts, the higher your net worth will be. And it could be something, it could simply be $100, $1,000. What matters the most is that you are aware of what your assets are, and not just aware, but that you know what they are. You've listed them. You know the market value. So you, in the previous session, we talked about listing them out and putting an amount beside them and getting a total. Then the second part to that is subtracting the total amount of debt that you owe. So this is done at a point in time. When you do this calculation, say let's do it today. And so I may add up my assets and they may total $2,000. Add up all my debts and they total $1,000. Well, the difference is my net worth. That means if I sold all of my assets at $2,000 and paid off all of my debt, I would have $1,000 left, which would be your net worth or your wealth. So when we talk about creating or building your wealth, we're talking about increasing that net worth number. So we covered that in a previous episode, but in this episode, we are going to cover protecting those assets of yours. And now we're not talking about physically protecting them from theft. The assumption is that you have that already done, that you have security in your home, you have an alarm system, that you're not leaving things out, but that you are safeguarding your checking account, your savings account, all of yours. You have credentials around all of your accounts, everything. All those things are already in place. That is the assumption. We're not talking about physically protecting your assets, but what we are talking about is protecting the assets that you have from future creditors or situations where you could lose them from some organization, some individual having or claiming a liability against you. The things that you can do to protect your assets from being lost from debt, being lost from some incident, some event that happens that you did not plan to happen. Now, all of a sudden, you've got to go into your savings account, your checking account, and your investing account and pull out thousands of dollars to pay for something that you never expected to pay for. And these things happen in life. In fact, more often than we think. And so, as we know, lawsuits happen, taxes happen, accidents happen, unplanned medical emergencies happen. They are an everyday fact of life. And so while we would like to believe that none of these things would happen to any of us, misfortune befalls all of us. And so what we must do is be as careful as possible and be planning ahead and try to put in place things that will reduce our exposure from losing all of our assets. If we do that, it will reduce the likelihood and the exposure of our hard-earned investments, our homes, our cars, or things of that nature being lost by creditors and unexpected events. Now, this is what we call asset protection. So as part of your asset protection planning, it might include repositioning some of your assets to make it a little more legally difficult for potential creditors to reach them. However, we are not talking about hiding your assets to defraud anyone. We are talking about taking very intentional legal steps well ahead of time before anything even happens. Now, we're taking legal steps to reposition our assets in ways such that if something happens, that certain assets will not be in reach. So let's make sure we are clear that we are not talking about repositioning something while you're in the middle of a lawsuit. Do not implement a plan of action or make these changes while a lawsuit is imminent or pending, or when you have any type of outstanding debt that you believe you may not be able to pay. We're not talking about repositioning those things at that time, because that's hiding and that is not legal. As you are repositioning, and we're going to spend a little further time in a different episode about what that could involve. Repositioning, we are talking about documenting, planning, carefully planning and documenting the reasons why you are repositioning your assets. So, where do the dangers lie in terms of unexpected liability? We know they can happen from anywhere. An unexpected liability could come from the IRS or any other tax authority. An unexpected liability to you could come from someone being an accident victim where you were involved in that accident, and you have another party that may be suing you for injuries that were caused by that accident, or any type of injury caused by any accident by an employee, or involving your minor children. Unexpected liabilities could come from hospital and doctor bills, from an illness that just comes upon us suddenly. And our insurance may cover some of it, but then there is this huge amount that is not covered. Or we may not have insurance at all. But all of a sudden, there's a major illness and there are surgeries, things involved that will run up a doctor's bill or hospital bill very quickly. Unexpected liabilities can come from credit card companies, business creditors, employees and former employees, business partners, customers, shareholders, any governmental agency, the general public. As you see, an unexpected liability, a claim against you or your business can come out of nowhere from just about anywhere. Could come from an ex-spouse or a former live-in partner. So there are three very basic things or techniques that we can all utilize to protect our assets from these unexpected liabilities, or at least reduce the exposure of our assets being taken as a result of these. And these three basic strategies or techniques is, number one, insurance. Number two is what we call protection by law or statutory protection. And number three is repositioning our assets or asset placement. So none of these techniques is complete by itself. Usually we would have to do a combination of any of those three based on your personal situation. So today we're going to spend most of the time on insurance. The simplest way to deal with our risk for our assets being taken is simply to shift that risk to the insurance company. That means having insurance in place for all of these assets. So this should be the first place that we go to cover those. So before you do anything else, review your existing insurance coverage. And we're going to talk about the various insurances that we are dealing with that we should be checking for. And then after a review of the insurance coverage, then consider if you're missing any to purchase coverage that you don't have in place or increase coverage that you find that is not appropriate right now. You may not have enough coverage. You may have put the policy in place years back, but the value of that asset has increased in such a way that, oh, you find that the asset's worth $30,000, but your coverage is only $10,000. Well, now you need to change your coverage to cover at least the $30,000 value of that asset. So you should be adequately insured. Okay? So you should be adequately insured against death and disability. So when we talk about death and disability, those are two separate types of policies. So a life insurance policy provides the beneficiaries of your life insurance with funds at the time of your death so that your assets will not be needed to pay final expenses and estate taxes if there is adequate coverage. Now, 9 times out of 10, people think of life insurance as we just need to have enough to cover the burial expenses of our loved ones. Well, that is not adequate coverage. Yes, that is the minimum that you would need, but let's talk about why you need more than, you know, $6,000-$8,000 to just cover burial expenses. Well, your loved one may have some other liability. Your loved one who passes away may have some debts and things that other expenses that will need to be cleared up. And if there's not insurance, enough insurance from the policy, then where is it going to come from? Where are those funds going to come from to pay for your loved one's final expenses? They would probably have to come from their estate. They would come from their actual assets of that loved one. And if they don't have any, it may have to come from you. So with that said, let's look at this hypothetical scenario as to another reason we want to have as much life insurance coverage as possible. So Robert and Joanne are married and they have two children. They both work. However, Robert is the primary breadwinner. Robert makes $60,000 a year, for example, which is $5,000 a month. He's the primary breadwinner, and so his salary pays the majority of the living expenses for the family. Robert unexpectedly passes away. They did not have life insurance at all on Robert. So now, Joanne has to raise funds to cover his burial. In addition, because Robert was generating a $5,000 a month salary to support the family, that $5,000 is gone. And now Joanne is having to support the family only on her income, which could be far less than the $5,000. But before, they had both incomes. So you see how that could put an absolute astronomical strain on Joanne to support her children now just on her income, if she had income at all. And so the reason we give you this hypothetical scenario is for you to understand the importance of having enough insurance in order for, in this case, Joanne to be able to live and support her and her children after Robert passes for a number of years, basically replacing his income. So had Robert and Joanne had a, let's say, $100,000 policy in place, when Robert passed away, they would maybe spend $10,000 on burial, and Joanne would have, she would have $90,000 remaining. Well, with $90,000, that will allow Joanne to replace Robert's $5,000 a month salary. She puts the $90,000 away in an account, and she could essentially draw out $5,000 a month. She could draw out $5,000 a month in order to support her family for a little over a year, whatever that number might be. So you understand that replacing your loved one's income is a very important component of determining how much life insurance you should have in place. It will allow you to be able to support the family, your loved one to support the family for a number of months or years, depending upon the amount of the insurance. So having adequate life insurance is very, very important. So we said disability. So disability income insurance will pay benefits to replace part of your earned income while you can't work due to some illness or injury. That way you are able to meet your expenses and obligations. If you are injured or become ill and are unable to work, by having a disability income policy in place, now the income that you were making, that policy would pay out some percentage of your monthly income to you so that you can continue to live while you are unable to work. So that is disability income insurance. So you can see that by having those two just alone insurances in place, that they protect the monies that you have put away in your savings and investments. Because why? You don't have to touch those if a disability occurred, or you don't have to touch those, or not as much, if an unexpected death occurs in your family, because the insurance will now cover the living expenses, or at least partly cover the living expenses. So let's move to risks that we have, medical risk. We need to have enough insurance to cover any type of medical issue, right? We all, so that's called medical insurance. And so we know that health insurance will pay your medical expenses that happen to us in case of any type of illness or injury, so that you will not have to use your own assets or cash to pay those medical bills. We want the insurance company to pay. That's pretty obvious, right? But many people are not insured, not for no fault of their own. Many people have lost jobs, so they have lost their insurance policies in this awful time that we're in. If you, though, are an individual who are working, if you are working and you have access to group medical insurance in your job and you're not enrolled, I highly recommend you enroll in your group medical policy. If it's not one that you like, you can always go and purchase a policy on the market. But the risk comes in by not having anything in place if you are working. Understandably, if you are not working, you don't have a choice. But if you are working, you should do all that you possibly can to have medical insurance in place so that if something happens, now you're not looking at your hard-earned cash that you have in an investment account or a savings account or whatever it might be being used to pay those medical bills. The third type of insurance coverage that we need to make sure is in place and adequately in place to cover or protect our own assets is homeowners insurance. Obviously, homeowners insurance will pay for certain damage, property damage to the homes and to the contents of our homes in case of any loss, so that our homes and the contents of our homes can be repaired or replaced without us having to do it ourselves out of our own pocket. So homeowners insurance also covers certain liability claims. If someone falls on your property and injures themselves and sues you, your homeowner's insurance, if properly covered, can cover that. And you will not have to use your own assets. So you see how important having homeowner's insurance is. Okay. A lot of times we look at these insurances that are required. Homeowners insurance is required by your mortgage company. We look at it as a nuisance. Oh, I got to get this homeowners. But it really is about protecting your assets. Okay. It's about making sure that you are not wiped slate clean by some unexpected disaster.
So homeowners insurance protects your home, and automobile insurance, we all know we've got to have car insurance. So it pays for the damage to your car and any losses so that your car can be repaired or replaced in the case of some type of accident. I just lastly want to mention umbrella liability insurance. Umbrella. And so an umbrella liability insurance provides liability protection above and beyond basic coverage that is provided by our homeowners and automobile policy. So it's above and beyond. So I would encourage you to take a look at that as well. So we're going to today just focus primarily on the insurance aspect. And I just highly encourage you to review those policies, purchase policies that are not in place, and increase the coverage on policies that are in place. The other two asset protection. So as you see, if once you have the proper insurance policies, that is really the simplest way to protect our assets. However, it is not foolproof 100%. So that's where the other two techniques come in. And that is what we call statutory protection and asset placement. And we will deal with those two in a separate episode, but I would like to talk at a high level about asset placement and what that just generally is. Asset placement refers to transferring the legal ownership of any type of asset, whether it be a deed to a house, whether it be a car, or any type of asset that we own. It's taking it out of your name and putting it in to some other person or business name. And simply, if it's not in your name, you don't own it, and a creditor cannot reach it. Now, once again, this is something that you would strategically plan to do while you are not having any problems. It is not something that you do while someone has reached you and said, you owe me this. This is not what we're talking about, because then it becomes hiding assets, and that is fraud and not legal. So we're talking about purposefully, as part of any type of financial planning strategy, thinking about, you know, ways that you could save money, save on taxes, all of these things. You might decide, I might decide to put this asset over here in order to, you know, accomplish certain planning goals. So you could shift your assets to both individuals and to businesses. But you need to obviously be careful about what individuals or businesses that you would shift to. You could also shift your asset to your spouse, have it in your spouse's name as opposed to yours. When we talk about shifting it to your business, if you are if you own a business that's a corporation, that's an ideal situation. But if it's a corporation, corporate assets are separate from individual assets. So if the corporation owns it, then it does not extend to you. So in summary, we want to protect our assets. We want to understand and know what they are, what the values are, and we need to know what they are and the values at any point in time. So it might be a quarterly review. You might look at your asset list March 31st, then June 30th, then September 30th, then December 30th. You do a quarterly review, and you do a quarterly review or a semi-annual review of your insurance coverages that we discussed all around. Albeit, you may say, well, that's premiums for everything. A premium is far less expensive than having to pay out hundreds of thousands of dollars or thousands of dollars for the full amount of a liability that may come up. A premium that may cost you $500 a year or $1,000 a year is far cheaper than having to come up in with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 hospital bill or more. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated financial parts of your life and your business and make it easy for you to understand.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.